Welcome to all those joining us for the shiur today on Chol HaMoed Pesach, Tovshin Pei Aleph. We're deviating from the regular program, the Likutei Halachos, and we're doing Sipurei Maaseiyos. And in the previous shiur, we had the first shiur of the eighth story of Sipurei Maaseiyos, the story of the Rav Uben Yochid, the rabbi who had an only son. And today we're going to cover the second shiur, and I believe we'll complete the story. Before we begin, I'd like to dedicate the shiur to a complete refuah shalema for all those that need it. Besoich shar choli Yisrael. Okay, we're in the middle of the commentary on the story, and right now we're especially in the middle of the commentary written by Reb Nachman Shirin, one of the outstanding students of Reb Nosson Zal. And now I'd like to actually read the Hebrew and translate and clarify, because every word here is so significant. Reb Nachman Shirin writes, in middle of his commentary on this story, Mikol ze muvan lakoil she'ikr hisgabrus hamanias be'inyin ze hoyorak manias hamoyach. Based on everything we've spoken about so far, and if you observe, if you study the story carefully, you see that the main obstacle was the lack of clarity in the mind, that it wasn't perfectly clear to the son, certainly not to his father, that this mission was correct. The father said, I'll prove to you, I'll show you that he's nothing. I'll show you that the one who you think is a tzaddik is nothing. And the son was willing to allow tests. Let's test the waters to see if this is really the right thing that we should be doing. So there was some doubt involved. And Rabbeinu Zal stresses that the most difficult obstacles to overcome are the manias hamoyach, when a person isn't 100% clear in their mind as to that they must do this. Because the moment a person gets to that level of clarity, usually there's no obstacle in the world that can stop the person. So what do we do? What does a person do to get clarity? Alkein tzrichin lehispalel harbe lehashem yisborach lehinotzel mizeh. Therefore, a person has to invest a lot of prayer, pleading with Hashem to be saved from menios hamoyach. That whenever it comes to something important that I need to do for my Yiddishkeit, for my connection to Hashem, such as coming close to a tzaddik, I shouldn't have any obstacles, any mental obstacles, any doubts in my mind. Things should be clear to me as to whether the person that I'm trying to reach is a true tzaddik. And if he is a true tzaddik, it should be perfectly clear to me how important it is for me to make the right connection. Now, Rav Nachman Shirin adds an incredibly significant point here. Out of all the factors in a person's life that could block a person and cloud a person's vision from being able to see accurately, is this the tzaddik? Is it not? Is this the tzaddik or not? The ho'ikar, the most important thing is, lemait bechvoid atzmoi ulaharbois bechvoid hamokoim. Here he's quoting from the opening line in chapter 6 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal begins there with these words, that a person, a Jew in this world, has to constantly be looking to lessen my own personal honor and glory and respect and increase the kavod of Hashem. That's the mission statement of a Jew in this world. We know that my rabbi, Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, stressed that Pirkei Avos, which interestingly, we're starting a new cycle of Pirkei Avos. Now that we're in Chol HaMoed Pesach, as soon as the holiday of Pesach is over, every single Shabbos, from Pesach through Shavuos and through the summer, every week we're going to be reciting one of the chapters of Pirkei Avos during Mincha time of Shabbos. We go through the whole cycle, 6 chapters, and then we go back to the beginning and do it again. And my rabbi stressed that Pirkei Avos is the best, most significant statements that each one of these rabbis of the Gemara made. When they were asked, take your best shot. If you had one message to deliver to Klal Yisrael, what would you say? That's the statements that we find in Pirkei Avos by each one of these rabbis. Shimon HaTzadik, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer, all of these rabbis. The bottom line of the entire Pirkei Avos, the final statement in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah there says, Kol ma shebora kodesh baruch hu boilamoi, loy broi elo lechvoidoi. Everything that Hashem created in all of his worlds was created for one purpose. We can capsulize the whole Yiddishkeit and the whole mission statement of a Jew in one word. What's the word? Lichvoidoi, for Hashem's kavod. It's all about his kavod. And the Mishnah quotes the pasuk, Kol hanikra vishmi v'lichvoidi berosiv yitzartiv afasisiv. That Hashem says, for my kavod, I created, and it uses all three words, Bria, Yitzira, Asiya, referring, the word Lichvoidi refers to Atzilus, showing that all of the different worlds, what's it all about? It's about Hashem's Kavod. That's what it's all about. That's the focus, the Kavod of Hashem. What can prevent, what can diminish Hashem's Kavod? My Kavod. If I have 3% personal Kavod, then there's only 97% left for Hashem. The more that I can negate myself, that I'm not a factor here, it's not a matter of what I, ask me what I want, what I would like, that doesn't exist. It's what Hashem wants. And the term Ratzon and Kavod are synonymous in the Torah. There's a famous statement in the Gemara, Ratzonoi shel Adam zehu kavodoi. A person's will is their respect. If a parent says, I want the window closed, so if a child complies with that and closes the window, they're showing that they respect the parent. If the child opens the window, it shows lack of respect. So Ratzon and Kavod go together. So the entire creation is about Ratzon Hashem and Kavod Hashem. And in that chapter in the Likutei Moharan, that opening statement that Rabbeinu Zal makes, that these two are on opposite ends of a seesaw. The more I decrease my own kavod, the more I'm increasing the kavod of Hashem. The more I increase, the more I want personal kavod, the less I'll be in a position to give proper respect to Hashem and to know the will of Hashem and to fulfill the will of Hashem. V'chol ma'asov yihyu rak l'shem shomayim be'emes. Every word here is critical. He could have said, v'chol ma'asov yihyu l'shem shomayim. He doesn't say that. He says, v'chol ma'asov yihyu rak l'shem shomayim. I have to study myself carefully. I have to look into myself honestly and see what's involved here. What's it all about? Is it really only l'shem shamayim, or is there some of me involved in it? Is there some personal kavod that I need? I can't have people insult me or look down on me because I'm associated with a particular rabbi or with a particular form of Yiddishkeit. So he says, v'chol ma'asov yihyu rak l'shem shamayim be'emes. Remember, we're operating in an olam hasheker. So we're talking about going against the grain here. The fact that a person is trying to get to emes, that alone is an uphill battle. That alone is not simple. And then that he added the word rak l'shem shamayim, that we're talking about a madrega here, where a person eliminates, there's nothing personal, there's no personal interest in my life. My whole life is focusing around Hashem. It's all about Hashem and only about Hashem. Oz yihya Hashem be'ezroi lamoid ulehisgaber al kol amanius. Then, if a person gets to this level, then Hashem will help the person, and the person will be able to overcome all of the obstacles. Ve'yizke leilech bederech ho'emes la'amitoi, and the person will be zoche to go in the true, real path of truth. And every word here is significant to let us know that it's not simple. This isn't simple. Person asks, I don't understand. What's wrong with that rabbi? Or why, you know? And why is it so different? The answer is it's so difficult because it's so important. And why do I have to have an hour of hispoidedus? You know, there's nothing to talk about. For, you know, I can finish everything I have to say in 3 or 4 minutes. But if you learn this, if you see what's said here carefully, you understand that it's not an hour. It could be a few thousand hours of a person pleading and begging Hashem that within this Olam HaSheker, and within the fact that every single one of us has the I, the me, myself, and I, that my life, what do you mean ignore myself? What do you mean ignore my own, negate myself? That's ridiculous. That's absurd. And that's what authentic Judaism is all about. We're not talking here, this is simple Judaism 1.1, authentic Judaism, that it's talking about recognition of Hashem and respect for Hashem. And in order to respect Hashem, a person has to be willing to put their own respect aside completely. Then it becomes possible for a person within this Olam HaSheker to be able to recognize, to identify where there's emes and where there's a higher level of emes and a higher level of emes. Remember, we've spoken about this many times, that even the malachim of emes, the Gemara speaks about a malach of emes. The malachim of emes said to Hashem, do not create man. Why? Because man is sheker, and man is going to give you a lot of difficulty and trouble. So the right thing would be not to create man. Rav Nosson Zal asked, but we see Hashem did go ahead with the creation of man. So they weren't, that's not the emes. So what's going on here? And he explains that what they said was true. It was true. It was a valid statement. However, within emes, there are madregos and madregos. And because they were only malachim, they weren't Hashem. Even though a malach has no bechira, and no opposition, no yetzahara or everything. But still, once Hashem took his infinite light and took it down to a level of an angel, it's no longer, doesn't come close to the emes of Hashem. We say, the emes Hashem li'olam, Hashem alukechem emes. Hashem's emes is a much, and therefore their emes was able to be in conflict with the emes of a direct conflict, the exact opposite of what Hashem really wanted. And Rav Nosson Zal explains that it's only tzaddikim who come down to this world and have to battle a yetzahara and go through the milchemes hayetzer constantly. Those tzaddikim that are really successful in winning that battle, they are zeicha to get to the Hashem's emes, to be masig Hashem's emes, Hashem's true rotzim. The example when Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, step aside, I want to destroy the whole Jewish nation and start from scratch. Moshe Rabbeinu heard those words. Any normal, rational person who has any iota of personal interest, Hashem said, I'll make a new nation from you. If there was 0.001% of personal interest, he would have said, great idea, wonderful. But because Moshe Rabbeinu was nothing, because Moshe Rabbeinu was able to say in complete honesty, v'nachnu mo, we are nothing, he was able to have 100% respect for Hashem, and he was able to understand the rotzon of Hashem perfectly, that even though Hashem is saying that, that's not really what he means. That's not really what he wants. It's the emes. It makes perfect sense. Person rebels against Moired b'malchus is chayav isa. Person rebels against a king, has to die. But there's a higher emes than that. And this is why he's stressing here, to be zeicha to get, Hashem will help the person. The person will be zeicha to go, bederech ho'emes la'amitoi. The person will be able to find within Judaism, within Orthodox Judaism, within Hasidus, where is the emes la'amitoi? Where is the highest, purest form of emes? Ukemuvan gam misipur zeh. And now Reb Nachman Shirin says, as we see from this story, Shehamaniya me oviv horav hoyorak machmas pchisas hakovoid. What caused the father, the rabbi, to refuse to allow his son to go to see the tzaddik and to try to do everything in his power to block him. It was all about prisas hakovoid. It's beneath our dignity, our status. Ki heshev loy, because the rabbi, the father, said to his son, haloy ato lamdan umeyuchas yoyser mimenu. You're more learned than him, and you have a higher heritage than him. You come from a greater lineage than him. These two terms, lamdan and meyuchas, which are two very significant words in Judaism. A lamdan means a person who knows how to learn Torah well, and lamdan means especially Gemara Rashi Tosfos. And it would be a disrespect, a disservice to you, for you to go travel to this tzaddik, this supposed tzaddik. But one second, isn't it true that the greater a lamdan, the more that person is closer to Hashem? And isn't it also true that if a person comes from a higher lineage, that that also affects their closeness to Hashem? Ube'emes ein ikar hashlemus tolui belamdan ameyuchas. It's true that those could be significant factors, but they are definitely not the most significant factors. That's not the ikar. Rak hakol lefi roiv hamaisa. But rather, the Gemara makes it perfectly clear. What separates the men from the boys is action. Action. A person's actions. Ukemoy sherimeis Rabbeinu Zal besipur zeh atzmoy. As Rabbeinu Zal hinted to us in this story itself, b'masha kosov sham, where it says in the story, v'oisoy haben hanal oso mitzvah shebo al yoto v'bechinas moir hakoton. Note, Rabbeinu Zal slipped in that word, that he said that the son of the rabbi performed a certain mitzvah which elevated him to the status of moir hakoton. Reb Nachman Shirin says, re'ei v'hispali, take a look and be amazed, oimek kedushas dvorav Zal, at the incredible depth of Rabbeinu Zal's words, that in that one little sentence, kiloy omar stam she'oisei aben hoye b'chinas moir hakotan, he didn't say what you would have expected. You would have expected in relating a story like this, with all the detail, that, and that son, that young man, was the moir hakotan. He didn't say that. He inserted those words, that young man performed a specific mitzvah which elevated him to the status of Moir HaKoton. Rak bier lehetya, but rather Rabbeinu Zal expressed clearly, shebo lemadrega zois al yidei mitzvah she'asa, that this young man who was learning full time, he was learning and davening. Rabbeinu Zal said it in the story, that's what he was doing, he was learning and davening, tomid. But what got him to that madrega of Moir HaKoton? Al yidei mitzvah she'asa. Ki hakoil lefi roiv hamaisa. Because again, as the Gemara makes it perfectly clear, that what defines a person's status with Hashem in Yiddishkeit is their actions. Esav has had a very great yichus. His daddy was Yitzchak Avinu, and he was still able to be an Esav Harosha, the worst of the worst. Rabbi Akiva ben Gerim, Rabbi Meir comes from Gerim, from Nero. David HaMelech, Moshiach ben David, comes from Moav. So don't tell me that Yichus is everything, because we see it's not. It has a place, there is a certain respect that's given for certain families, Koyhanim, there is a concept of a lineage, there is the lineage of the family of David HaMelech, it is something. And I mentioned that I remember when I first came to Breslov, I heard from my rabbi, Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, that one of his students at the time was looking for a shidduch for his daughter, and there were two words in Hebrew which are almost identical, in Yiddish, they're almost identical, and yet they mean two different things. There's the word gebarana. Gebarana means born. And there's gevarana. Gevarana means became. There's a person who is a geboren a Breslover, a person who was born a Breslover, meaning his parents and grand were Breslovers, and there's a geboren a person who was not born into Breslov at all. He became Breslov, he became a Kurov. And This person said he wants a gebarna breslever. He wants a person who was born into breslev, not somebody who became not a bal tshuva. And I remember seeing from Rav Rosenfeld that he understood differently, that the Gemara says that in certain cases, b'mokoyim shebalei tshuva imdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yecholim lamed sham, that there are many cases where because a person is born into something, sometimes it could be a disadvantage in terms of the enthusiasm, how special it is to the person. Very often the person takes it for granted. They think that Yiddishkeit or Hasidus is something you could be born into. They don't realize that Hakol lefi roiv hamaisa. Whereas a person who is bal tshuva, a person who wasn't born into something and they join, usually that person has much greater degree of enthusiasm, commitment, a recognition of how much it depends on their actions that are going to connect them to what they want to be connected to. Ve'ein laharich b'kan binyonim elu b'yoser. Reb Nachman Shirin says, and I don't want to elaborate on this further at this point, but I do discuss this further in another place. Now comes another incredibly significant point that we learn from this story. He says, take a look further, where when the rabbi meets the businessman after his son has already died, after the rabbi's son already died, he recognizes him, that this was the businessman that he had met earlier, and the businessman says to him, of course you saw me. And he opens his mouth and he says, if you want, I'll swallow you. And the rabbi says to him, what kind of state? What are you talking about? So Reb Nachman Shirin points out, V'hagam ki loshen zeh rogil b'bnei yodam, even though this is a common way of speaking, you want me to hit you? Do you want me to beat you up? People talk like that. It is an expression. Afal pikein hu loshen temur. Despite that, it seems very strange. What normal person would want somebody else to swallow them? V'oid, and number two, im yochol levloya oisoy, yevloisoy gam kenim lo yirtze. If the opponent can swallow me, then even if I don't want him to swallow me, he'll still swallow me. So I don't understand, what's the question? What's in that statement? Ach yesh loymar shirimez lanu rabbeinus al gambo zeh dovor omoik ve'emes. However, we can possibly say that in these words, rabbeinus al has hidden something that's very deep and very true. Ki be'emes i'efshir lahabal dovor livloya esodom bal korchoi. The truth about Judaism and about life is that it's impossible for the Yetzirah to swallow a person against his will. Even though the Yetzirah is an angel and he's very powerful, in terms of the rules and regulations of the game, the Yetzirah cannot and may not swallow a person against his will. Gamim lo yisratze elov, if the person will not show a willingness to go along with him. So then how does he operate? How does the Yetzirah operate? Rakshuhu mesavev beroiv tachbuloisov vahastotoisov upituyov ad shemachnis rotzoin belev ha'odom lintoisachrov. The Yetzirah is shrewd. The Torah says vahanochosh hoyo'orum mikol chayas asodeh, that the snake was more, it doesn't say chocham, it says orum. Orum means shrewd, very sharp. And he uses all of his tricks and wiles and seductions to get the person to become a willing, cooperating subject. And then the moment the person shows a little bit of willingness to go in the direction that the Yetzirah wants, he's got you. The perfect example, you have an 800-pound fish, a huge, gigantic fish that could swallow up a person. And the fisherman has that line and the hook and a delicious, appetizing, attractive-looking worm or something else on it, the bait. And if that big, gigantic fish takes the bait, he's finished. person will say, I don't understand. That little hook can hold that gigantic fish. The answer is definitely yes. That little hook, if the fish shows a willingness, if the fish sees the worm and says, have a nice day, no thanks, he's free. He can swim for the rest of his life. But if he shows a willingness to join, to connect, he, even though it's the tiniest little connection, he's finished. Just as we find in this story, Hichnis Tchila Belev Shel Horav Shel Loy Horav Yeloy Rotzoin Sheyisa Benoy Latzadik. The Yetzirah injected into the heart of the rabbi that he should not want him, his son, to travel to the tzaddik. Because it seemed to him, it seemed to the rabbi that this would be an insult, this would be degrading our family. We are such a meyuchastik a family. If people find out my son went to that to him, who is he? He's a nothing. He's not as learned as I am. He's not as eloquent a speaker as I am. Ukimavur gam acharkach befigoi bahasecher, as we see explained afterwards. When the rabbi meets the businessman, at their first meeting, we see Rabbi Nizal said that the rabbi was ashamed to say that they're going to a tzaddik. They acted as if he acted as if he's another businessman, just talking business. He didn't want the businessman to know that he's going to the tzaddik because he was afraid that that would come off being embarrassing for him. Umemela, once he was coming from that position, that he was concerned about his own kavod, that was the main thing here, that I can't, my kavod can't be harmed in any way. Umemela, kishehichnis habaldovar bedaitoi, lintois acharetsoinoi, once the Yetzihara was able to get the rabbi to be interested in his own kavod, personal kavod, bevadai hoya bekoichoi lizgabarelov. That empowered the Yetzirah to defeat him, to win the war. I remember my Rebbe, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Baruch, used to say, there's a pasuk in the Chumash, ki hashoichad ye'aver einei chachamim, that a bribes, can blind smart people. And he used to stress, the Torah is calling him chacham. We're not talking about a little chacham here. We're talking about someone who the Torah labels him as chacham, and yet the Torah tells us you should know as smart. You would think a smart person like that could be. The answer is yes. A really smart person can be fooled by shoychad. What is shoychad? Shoychad is money. Shoychad could be money, and shoychad could be kavod. These are the two most basic standard forms of shoychad, where a person wants to get somebody to do what they want. They call your honor, they show them a lot, they shower them with respect. And if the person likes that, if the person wants that even a little bit, that becomes the hook. The person is hooked and they'll end up doing crazy things. They'll end up doing stupid, idiotic, crazy things that can harm themselves, that can harm the world, because they were shown respect. In the story about Rav Nosson Zal's life, about the opposition that he encountered from the Savrana Rebbe and his followers, in one part of the story there, one of the people was asked, one person who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he was asked, like, how did you get involved in this? And he said, what could I do? There were so many rabbonim there and everything. And the Savrana was mechabed me. He gave me a certain kavod to lead the benching or something. What could I do? What could I do? And again, the Torah is telling us that this is 90% of the world. Unless a person really, really works on themselves a lot, unless a person really prays to Hashem very hard and learns a lot of Torah and comes close to tzaddikim, there's no chance in the world that the person doesn't have this problem, this vulnerability to kavod, that if somebody insults them or embarrasses them, it could kill them. Person could die. I almost died from embarrassment. And if a person respects them, shows them respect or flattery or anything like that, the person gets taken in by it, chas v'shalom. That's part of being in this oilam hasheker. Hainu, V'zeh rimeiz loy, and this is what he was hinting to him in those words, im tirtze, if you want, I'll swallow you. Hainu, im yihi ritzoincha nimshach achar ritzoini, if your will be drawn to my will, to what I want, if you'll show a willingness for what I'm offering you, bevadai eye boy leyescha, I will definitely succeed in swallowing you. Bibchinas, as the pasuk uses that terminology, kivala rosho tzadik mimenu. There's a pasuk that says, like a rosho swallows one who is more righteous than him, one who is more religious than him. And the Gemara says on that pasuk, tzadik mimenu daika veloy tzadik gomor, kama shador shurazal. The Gemara says from this pasuk we see that the rosho can swallow one who is more righteous than him. He can swallow a tzaddik, but tzaddik gomor einoi boileya. The Gemara says that there's tzaddik and there's tzaddik gomor, two different tribes completely. A tzaddik gomor, the Yetzer cannot swallow, because tzaddik gomor means he's eliminated this kvoid atzmoi completely. He has no interest whatsoever in personal kvoid. Ki bevadai hu roitzel evloye sodom legamri chasashon, because the Russia, the Yetzer Hara, definitely wants to swallow the person completely. Bibechinas, as it says, tsoife rosho la tzaddik umevakesh la misoi. The Russia is looking for the tzaddik, and he wants to kill him. And now in the parentheses here, ki hayitochein sheyir lohaotam rotzoin sheyiv loisai soinoi? Does it make any sense that a person would want his enemy to kill him, to swallow him? V'oz bevada yisgaber alov. And if the person shows zero interest, that I'm not interested at all, I don't want to look. Not that I don't want to approach it even in the slightest manner, then the person will definitely overpower the Yetzirah. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu oizroi u'mesayeloi, because Hashem helps the person. Bebechinas, as it says in that pasuk, tsoife rosho latzat mash misoi, Hashem lo yazvenu biyodoi. Hashem will not allow the Russia to succeed. As we find, Rashi points out, all the way in the beginning of the Torah, when the snake convinced Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, afterwards Hashem said to Adam, V'ato timshol boy, you will rule over him, over the snake. Rashi says there, im tirtze tisgaber olav. If you will want, you have the ability to overpower him. Im tirtze daika. Look at that wording. Look at those two magic words. What do you want? What do you want? That's the question. V'ze b'chinas ma she'omar ha'kosuv. And this is what the pasuk says in Mishlei, I believe. Bini, im yifatucha chatoim, al toive. My son, if sins will try to seduce you, to entice you, do not want. Al toive, those are the words in the pasuk. Al toive. Reb Nachman Shimon says, al toive daika. Look at the words. Look what the Torah is telling you. If you say, I don't want, if you will show I have no desire, I have no interest in it, v'oz bevada yisgaber aleim, then the person can overpower one malach, 1,000 malachim, all the seductions of the Yetzer Hara. It's just that first, that initial question, interested? Person shows 0.001% of interest, he's finished. It's the person can be 1 billion pounds. He could be a whale. He could, that little hook, he's finished. V'zeh b'chinas ma shenemar etzal Yosef HaTzadik. Now let's take a look at the story of Yosef HaTzadik with Potiphar's wife. What made him into Yosef HaTzadik? She saw Beruach HaKodesh, that a child was destined to come from them. There was all kinds of things going on. He left home at 17 years old. He was in Mitzrayim, which was the worst place on earth in terms of znus and everything. Everything was set up perfectly for failure. How did he succeed? Vayemo'ein. That one word, the magic word, he refused. He didn't want. Vayemo'ein means I don't want. And those that know, the Baal Kores know, that on that word Vayemo'ein, there's a shalshelis. Vayemo'ein. He refused again and again. The Gemara says, the Midrash says, she changed her clothes 3 times a day. She had a morning outfit, an afternoon outfit. She had every trick in the book to seduce him. I don't want. I don't want. A person can say, I don't want. And as long as they say that, I don't want. How much I don't want? I don't want at all. Person shows, I don't want 99%, but 1% I'm curious. Or I'm interested, what? But 99% I'm not. The person's finished, chas v'shalom. U'kemavur mizeh b'mokam acher. U'be'emes. And the truth is, al piroiv, in the majority of cases, mashah habaldovar boileya lefomim esotam l'gamri chas v'shalom, in those cases where we see that the Yetzirah swallows a person up completely, hualidei shebetchila asisoi l'mashem asisoi. The Yetzirah does it by first seducing, enticing the person for something small, just a taste, just try it, just a little tiny thing. And if the person listens to the Yetzirah, listens to them, hubo bi'atzmai umoydia loy oitzim hapegam shepokam oydeze, then the Yetzirah comes back to the person and says, you idiot, you fool, you nothing, you failure, you're a complete failure. And he magnifies the sin, the crime that the person did. And as a result of that, he causes the person to lose any respect for themselves and to lose their confidence and to lose hope. I'm finished. It's over. Forget it. There's nothing I can do now anymore. And that's why here also in the story, where the businessman was now informing the rabbi about the terrible thing that he did, after the businessman was the one who seduced him, who told him that rabbi's a nothing, I saw him do an Avera, Omar Loitchila, still, he added those 2 words up front, if you want, I'll swallow you. Meaning, after the person committed the sin, after the person blew it, finished, I did the sin, I fell. Now the Yetzirah, there's still a round two, there's still an opportunity for tshuva. But now the Yetzirah comes back, and now he comes back like a big rabbi. You did such a terrible thing. You know what kind of Gehenim you're going to have? And he does that to weaken the person, to make the person feel like there's no hope anymore, chas v'shalom. So if the person listens to him now, for the second round, oz yuchal evlo yisem amish chas v'shalom, then the Yetzirah can finish the person off completely, swallow him up completely. V'chasher hoyu kvar kama maisius ke'elu boilam, as there were already many stories like this in the world, Hashem Yisborach Yatzileinu, may Hashem save us. There are many people who you'll talk to who had tests in their Yiddishkeit. And the tests were difficult tests sometimes. And again, the Yetzirah started with something small, the Gemara says. Hayoyim Amaloya say kach, the Yetzirah doesn't say do an Avera. He says just do this tiny little deviation. And then one thing leads to another, and suddenly the person finds they're in quicksand, and the person falls to a very low place. But even though they fell to a very low place, we know that in Yiddishkeit, a person can come back from anything. But if that's not bad enough, that the Yetzirah was the one who caused them to commit the sin, now he comes back as a prosecutor. Now he comes back to convince the person as to how terrible. You're the one who convinced me to do it. And now he comes, you know what you did is so terrible, you could never go back. The story with Acher, where Rebbe Meir, his student, begged him, Rebbe, please come back. And he said, I can't, because I heard a baskol that said, Shuvu bonim shevovim chutz me'acher, that anyone can come back except for Acher. And it's this baskol that the Eitz Hara plays, this recording that the Eitz Hara plays for all people who experience a major fall in Yiddishkeit, where he convinces the person that now Hashem doesn't want you. On the contrary, it would be the greatest disrespect for you to go to shul now. You're covered with mud and filth. You're not allowed to walk into a shul. It would be an insult to Hashem. And that's Chas V'Shalom how he finishes the person off. We'll hold it over here. I believe there's still some more important things which we'll cover tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, in the next shiur. Any questions, please, before we close?
Rivka Menu was Rivka Menu in one corner and Yaakov Avinu in the other corner and
Yitzhak Avinu.
Yitzhak Avinu, right? Yes. Rasha ben... So it is a factor, but even their prayers could be weighted.
We mentioned that Lamdan and Yichus are factors, but it's not Ikor. That's where Rav Nachman Shirin made it perfectly clear for us. Lamdan, the more Torah a person knows, they have a certain advantage, a certain edge. But we know the Torah tells us that there was Yeravam ben Nevat, and it gives us and Acher, people who were big Lamdonim, and it wasn't enough to get them into Gan Eden. It wasn't enough to get that person to succeed in Yiddishkeit. So we see that it's a factor. However, there are more important factors. The most important factor is the person's mitzvos and maisim toivim. The Mishnah says, V'loi ha-medrash sho'ikar ela ha-maisa. Clear in the Torah. And yichus, also a factor. We are called maminim, b'nei maminim, etc. It's a factor, but not the most important factor. We should be zoche to appreciate this highest form of Torah that Rabbeinu Zal gave us, these stories, which he refers to as Sipurei Maisis Mishonim Kadmoniyos, ancient stories. Because these stories go back to Adam HaRishon. This is the story of Adam and Chava. This is the whole story of Yiddishkeit from Adam HaRishon until Moshiach. We should be zoche to learn these stories and draw all the benefits, reap all the benefits that we can from these stories. Wishing everybody a wonderful, a good Moed, a good Yom Tov. Shabbos Shalom to the real Simcha of Yom Tov.